preacher, you will discover that over the years, that you just look for something that fits as close as possible. And then when you start, people start getting the gist of what you're trying to say. Hallelujah. But, you know, sometimes when it comes to our faith walk, we need to have look at things from every single aspect of God's word. You know, Paul says to the church at Ephesus, said, I've not held back from you the whole counsel of God. So we want to look at God's word with respect to thriving, respect to looking at God's faithfulness in difficult situations. Now, James chapter 1, I'm going to read from verse 1. It says, James, a servant of the Lord, Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse what? Temptations. Now, if you don't follow through this passage of scripture, and that's why sometimes we have a faith failure problem with respect to our walk with Christ. When I say faith failure, when you hear that phrase, you have to read everything all the way down. As a matter of fact, you read the whole chapter to have an idea of what James is about to communicate. So if you stay with verse 2, you're not going to understand what he's trying to say. And that's why sometimes we try to do some things mechanically and we don't get results we're supposed to get. So when it says, count it all joy when you fall into what? Diverse temptations. And the word temptation has to do with trials, difficult situations. He says, but you, believer, you that you are among the brethren, you are to do something. So there is a response that is expected of you. There's a response that's expected of you. So understand one thing. It says, when you fall into, that is when you find yourself in situations that is common to all. The reason why it's happening is not because you in particular did anything. It's happening because it's all around you. That's why it's happening. And today we still have believers who immediately begin to question God's faithfulness the minute they enter into difficult situations. They think everything's about them. It's because I lied. It's because I sinned. It's because somebody's doing me. It's because of my village people. No, he says, count it all joy when you fall. So you are to pay attention to what is he trying to say. He's not saying mechanically just start laughing. No, he says to count means you look at the situation and in that situation record it not as a terrible situation but as a joyous situation. That's what he's saying. So he's not talking about a mechanical action. He's talking about something that comes from a fundamental knowledge of God. That's what he's talking about. He says, count it all joy when. So it's not if. It's not if it's going to happen. He's not talking about if. He says, when you fall into it. Why? It's lying all around. In situations that other people step into. And I think I woke up this morning and I saw a notification on Facebook. So I just went to go and check notification and I saw that a particular major gospel minister. How many of us saw it? Just escaped that. And people who don't understand God, and incidentally, it's my cousin. He's my cousin. We're related, it's my cousin. And people don't know God. Now, he was going on assignment. He was on his way. He wasn't going to have fun. He was going on assignment. And that happened. Now, if you don't interpret God's wisdom very well, you will focus on, oh, such a beautiful car. Car. Versus life. You see, that's the problem we sometimes have. So I thought they say he was serving God. Why should he have? No, there are people who are serving God who have died. Well, some years ago, my pastor told me that when some people are saying that even if I'm dying, I'll still believe God. Somebody says, how can you be believing that you are dying? I said, no. Do you want to die disbelieving? Does it change who God is? Does it change his counsel? Does it change his plan? Does it change his faithfulness? As you feed on God's word, you grow out of bread and butter Christianity. Where if it is not sweet, it's not God. It won't always be sweet. This is the side of faith that people don't want to hear about. It won't always be sweet. No. There are situations that are a function of the world that we live in because you are in this world. And Bible says, the whole world lights what? In darkness and under the power, that's control of the wicked one. So there are activities of men that are going on behind the scenes. And because of the activities, for instance, now when you go out of your house every day, your confessions are important, your prayer is important, because you are going to meet men who are yielded to the enemy. So though you are driving safely, not everybody will drive safely. So your declaration and your prayer is covering that also. So not everyone is submitted to God. It is when you fall into diverse temptations, you are to count it all joy. Look at the next verse. The word diverse there means many kinds. It's different. It's all kinds that you're going to meet in different ways. It says, knowing this. This is how you are to record the situation. So a believer must never, in any situation, be given to panic. Panic shows you have lost control because you think God is no longer in control of the situation. It says you have to know. There has to be a knowledge before you enter into the temptations. There has to be a knowledge. It says knowing this. It says that the trying, that is the putting to proof, the testing. So really, the issue with the situation you're facing is about your faith. What is precious to God is not the situation. What is precious to God is the faith of Christ in your heart. That's what's precious to God. Because that faith is more precious than the challenge and the situation. So he says, that knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. And if you're reading this in English, when people think patient means, you know, just be patient, to take time. That's one side of it. The word patience actually means to endure in a situation, not in a hopeless manner, but with an assurance of an outcome. Let me say it again. The word patience there doesn't mean you just stay, you know, you're a very patient person. You can be patient and foolish. Because it starts that phrase by saying knowing. So there is a knowing that leads to this process, which is knowing this, that the trying. So it is faith under pressure. It is faith under attack. You have to know that while I am believing, my faith is being put to proof. So the writer begins to use, so to speak, figurative language to communicate what he's trying to say, because your faith, which is the faith of Christ, the trying of that faith, he says, notice what he says, worketh patience. The word patience also means consistency, constancy. That is, there is a product that we're going to get from your faith when you had joy over a period of time. You are going to become consistent. You no longer be fluctuating. What is fluctuation? God is good when things are good. But God is not good when things are not good. God is good when money comes to my account. But God is not good when I get sacked. You are not patient. You are not patient. That's what you are not patient. And we have so many scenarios in the scriptures that teach these fundamental principles of the Christian faith. It is better and better Christian that tells you that trials won't come, that you won't face difficulties. There's no such thing as victory when there's no challenge. Have you seen that before? Then what are you victorious over? So, because James is, listen, James is an apostle. And James, as an apostle, is laying down apostolic doctrine. That means that when James was writing James 1, there was no James 1. So James was writing from Genesis and the stories of the patriarchs and what they experienced and extracting the principles of Christ from those experiences. That's what James is doing. So when you say, knowing this, understand that James' example, why Christ is the final example, he started all the way from Genesis. He's telling you that those who claim to believe God, they passed through things, but they were patient. That means they were consistent in their declaration, even though the challenges came. In other words, the challenges did not affect their faith in terms of what they said and what they believed. Glory to God. Patience. It works patience. That is consistency. That is, I am the same in my confession. I am the same in my faith. I am the same in serving God. Come rain or shine. That's what it means to be a solid Christian. You are not solid if you cry at every single challenge. You're not solid, you're not sound. You're not ready for a victorious life. As a matter of fact, while it is true that God will allow you to have certain victories in certain areas, he also knows how far you can go when it comes to spiritual growth. Because among us, we train the soil so easily, it shows that you don't have substance on the inside. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 10. I'm going to come back to James because, again, James is apostolic. Proverbs 24, verse 10. If you faint, which is another word for give up, if you throw in the towel on the days when you are encountering adversity, it says it's because your strength is what? Small. It says it's not because the adversity is bigger, it's because your strength, and we don't have time to go into that today, but the word strength actually speaks about knowledge. It's because what you know is what made you throw in the towel. If you knew more, you will know that what you have on the inside cannot last the challenge. So the word strength is actually talked about knowledge. That is, there's something you ought to know that will never make you throw in the towel in the hour of victory. That's what he's saying. If you faint, so adversity comes to everyone. Christ, no, you see, God became a man, and as a man, he faced adversity. And his consistent confession of God's word was clear in all situations. Christ himself. So when God became a man, challenges did not respect God. As a man, they still came. Opposition came. In fact, it was so bad that they killed him. And yet, he was saying the same thing. He was saying the same thing. So he says, count it all joy. That is, see the outcome while the challenge is going on. Go back to James. Verse 3. Verse 4. Notice what it says now. Verse 4. See what it says. It says, but let that consistency produce a particular outcome. The word is perfect. That's what complete. That is, it's working something out. So I am constant. I'm patient. I am consistent in what I'm practicing with respect to my faith. I am building something over a period of time until no matter the situation, the way I am is the way I am, regardless of circumstances. That's what it's called in perfect word. That you may be perfect and entire. Now you are lacking nothing in expression. He's talking about spiritual growth. That's what he's saying. He's talking about spiritual growth. We're going to come back here now. Jump all the way to verse 13 for me, please. Let no man say, when is what? Tempted. I am what? Tempted of God. For God cannot be what? Tempted of evil. Can you see that? Let no man say, when? So again, James is an apostle. Let no man say when he's tempted is shedding light on the prophetic scriptures. Who is the man who said I'm tempted of God originally? Adam. So don't be like that one. And that one is a model for every man who is outside of Christ. When they face difficulties, who did they face? Notice, what did Adam say? The woman that you gave me. For God cannot be tempted with evil. Neither does he what? Puts anyone in such a situation. Can you see that now? Go back to verse 4 again. Let patience have a perfect work that you may be perfect and entire, then you are lacking nothing. What are you not lacking? The patience that produces, that's the fruit of the Spirit in full expression, so that that fruit is consistent through all the situation until victory arrives at your doorstep. That's what he's saying. Now look at the next verse now. If any of you lack what? Wisdom. Now, pay attention. You know, sometimes we teach from this verse and we want to explain some principles about God's character with respect to prayer. And so sometimes we don't have the privilege of teaching in context, but look at what he's saying in context. If you lack wisdom, go back to verse 4. Let patience have its complete work, that you may be one. Complete, that is perfect. You are one thing. That is, there is nothing that you don't have in expression. Then in the next verse, in every of you lack. So he's talking about two men. There is one through patience and rejoicing sees the outcome of his faith. There's another one, while he's in the process, he ran out of wisdom. Listen, if any of you lack wisdom, what is wisdom? Wisdom, which is an understanding of God's dealings, a foundation in God's word, is what that process in verse 1, verse 2, rather, to 4 is meant to produce. That is, after a while of using your faith, trusting God, despite the appearance of things, even when things are going the other way than how you think you thought it would go, you are so assured of the outcome with respect to God's faithfulness, that after a while, one victory after another victory, after a while, what does it mean to be perfect? When a situation arises, you can tell the end from the beginning. I hope you're following me this morning. Please, this is important. It's important because, you know, the way we speak sometimes, some of us think that because we are ministers, we don't face challenges. No. Listen carefully. 2 years before we got married, I woke up one morning praying, and Spirit of God told me, your first child will come by the word. He's informing me, I'm not discussing children. I don't have many children I will have. 2 years before I got married, he said, your first child will come. And then you grow with God. The instruction sounds so simple, like it doesn't really mean much. But when you are not asking for something, he's talking to you, pay attention to what he's saying. He didn't solicit. He just came. Then that means there's something else. So when our first child was on the way, all hell broke loose. I thought it was epilepsy. No, I've used to convulse. 30 minutes at a stretch. I'll pray, I'll speak tongues. And as was going on for a while, I think she was the one who reminded me. But you said, the Lord said, your first child will come. So what was he saying? Now listen, it is going to happen. But I'm assuring you of the end from the beginning. It will come by the word means that just stand on the word. No matter what the doctor says, just stand. No matter what you just stand. So imagine you are confessing for 30 minutes and you are praying tongues and it's not stopping. Just stay. There's something bigger than what you are seeing. It was spoken 2 years before. Just stay. We stayed together like that all through the process. Till the time of delivery, we had the victory. I mean, that's what I'm saying, like, well, when it's going to give bad, this will happen, this complication will happen, you might lose the child. Well, she's 17 plus, taller than all of us. That's not the only challenge. I can tell you that came. Most of us know some of those stories. How she broke her thigh at 10 and a half months, and they said she won't walk again. Well, is she not walking? Another victory. Now, after a while, you become used. Now, I'm not saying start planning for challenge. I'm saying that when you fall, this God is so faithful. You will know that if you stay with the word, you come back with a testimony. Now, here's the issue. Staying is where the problem is. What is staying? Let patience have its perfect work. So now, you are looking at trial. God is looking at the fruit of patience that will be produced if you stay on the word. Because that fruit is bigger than the challenge. It's even bigger than the victory you're going to have in that situation. It will carry over to every other challenge. It says that you may be perfect and entire. Now you are wanting what? Nothing. So a confidence comes over a period of time of living this way. You now know the storms will come. But what controls the ship, listen carefully, is not the storms of life that controls the ship. It is the direction set by the captain. All the storm can do is take the ship in the direction the captain has already what set at the beginning. So what the captain does with the ship is this. He doesn't take his hands off the helm of the ship, though it is raging the storm. That's what faith does. It gives you a clear path through the storm. All the storm can do is take you to the destination already determined before the storm came. Glory to God. How are you made this morning? If any of you now lack what wisdom, let him ask of God. So the person who lacks wisdom now is the one who is not allowing patience to have his perfect work. So why do you say count it joy? You have a knowing. What is the knowing? I can see the end from the beginning. This will be like another of the other ones that I had victory in. That's the knowing. So I am going to rejoice at the beginning. If all you do is rejoice, after the testimony comes, you are a mere man. A mere man. He says you count it joy. What has been counted? You know God is still the same, but the temptation is different. The situation is different, but God is still the same. You know they can say no to something you are believing yes for. It doesn't mean it's over. It is only over when you throw in the towel. When you throw in the towel. God is a specialist at impossible miracles. If you also refuse to let go, God is a specialist. We prayed for a couple here, I think during Holy Ghost ministry some years back. And I just felt impressed. I knew they were talking about for a child, but I didn't feel like I should pray for a child. So I just said some things to them. I didn't know they applied to leave the country. They came from outside the country. They came in and they were supposed to go and they had issues, completion. They had already refused them. And it was, I think it was the UK embassy. And once they refuse you, you just go and either you try to appeal or you go and reapply. So after the prayer, that week, they called them. They don't call people. In fact, the husband was shaking, they called us. They apologized to us. I said, we are sorry, it's now ready. Before we could appeal. Now, look at it this way. Once they say no, normally what should you do? You tell people, they said no. We're not going again. What have you done? You're throwing in the towel. What did God do? You know God, and God knows people. You didn't hear me. You know God, and God knows people. And God knows the heart of men. And God knows who to whisper to that will do his bidding. I was jokingly recently, I'm not sure whether I was, I was in church on Wednesday service. And I said, I've heard that testimony more than once. Somebody sends money to somebody. And it was telling the person, I don't like you, but here's the money. Ah, sir, thank you so much. Don't thank me. I said, I don't like you, but I've sent the money. What will your next prayer point be? Please don't be liking me, but be sending money. Please don't stop liking me. Be sending money. I don't need your likeness. As long as you can what? The person was saying, don't send money. What do you think was at work? God's power and God's favor. Glory to God. So if any of you now lack wisdom, so you couldn't fulfill verse 2 and verse 3. You couldn't fulfill it. You now lack wisdom. Wisdom is what you were meant to do, which you didn't do, which is, what do I do now? I seem to be stuck because I'm getting carried away by the situation. Let him ask of God, the one that gives and gives to all men and gives liberally and doesn't find fault, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith. Nothing. So we know what the problem was in verse 3. We know what the problem was in verse 3. He is wavering. He thinks the challenge came from God. He thinks God is testing him. He thinks God is a problem. When you hear a believer say, as a pastor, I've heard things. Pastor, I don't know why God is not answering me. I know there's a problem. Because he just lied. God just singled you out. The way your face is, probably the place you come from, I don't like you. I don't want to answer you. Some statements we think, we say casually, but we don't know the import. Why? I don't know why God is not answering me. You. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Is it not God that justifies? Who is it that condemns? Is it not Christ that died? Who also is risen as even at the right hand of God? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall separate us? Because that's what your statement is saying. You are saying by that statement. Now, you have not received, yes. What you say that I don't know why I've not received. But when you say, I don't know why God is not answering, you know what you have done? You've put God in a driver's seat and is actively resisting your prayers. Let him ask of God. So James is now saying, you are in that trying situation. Now you lack wisdom, which is what to do at that point in time, which you will have gotten if you have been patient, which is you are consistent with the situation. You just stayed with joy using your faith. He says, let him ask of the God that gives to all men liberally and doesn't find fault. So it's telling you, your fault is not the reason why you are in the situation. This is common to all your brethren. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. We're just introducing today, so we'll take our time. Because this is so important. This season that we're in, everything I tend to teach, we study and everything, but we follow direction and leading. It's so important. Be super vigilant, because you're one. Your adversary, as a royal lion, he goes about seeking whom he may devour. Now, he's an adversary. He's on the earth. He has men yielded to him. And to devour you, he will operate through those men. Say amen. No, say amen. To get at you, he will operate through those men. That's what he will do. But he's your adversary. But you will never see him. Have you seen Satan before in your sitting room? May you not. But you won't see him. How does he operate? Well, this is what Peter tells us. Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 6. Look at Ephesians 6. We'll come back here. Ephesians 6 verse 12. From verse 10. Let's read from verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, that is in the power of what? His might. What's the power of his might? Everything he wrote in chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. The knowledge of what he has done for us. That's the power of his might. He now says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. Next verse. For we wrestle not against one flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness. Now, so the word I places is out of place there. We don't have time to go there today. So the translators made a mistake there. There's no wickedness in high places. It's just wickedness. High places should go the other place. Look at it one of these days. Hallelujah. So now look at what he's saying. He said that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but you are meeting flesh and blood. So there are forces behind flesh and blood that you're going to be dealing with. So you have to be intelligent to know that there's something on your inside that can deal with the forces of flesh and blood, which are operating through flesh and blood. Let me say it again. There are forces operating through flesh and blood that you can deal with, that God has given you victory over, in what Paul calls the fruit of the Spirit. Now listen carefully. So your focus is not men and their activity. Your focus is what is behind their what? Activity. Say amen. Now, see, so he says, we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. So activities are going on around us. So Peter says, be super vigilant for your adversary. How is he walking around? Through the men that surround you every day. The bus driver, the bus conductor. That's why I say, if you're a believer, if you don't learn to walk, Pastor C shared something with this morning, and that's why if you don't practice walking in love in church, there are people you still don't greet. It is your kind we find fighting at bus stop. Eh? Imagine seeing a old brother fighting at the bus stop, sharing cloth. You're not a good ambassador of Christ, much less noble house. Imagine. Someone was jokingly talking about one of the leaders in their church. Went to an eatery. They were waiting in line to purchase snacks. He recognized the leader by the voice of the leader raised, hugging over meat pie. What do you mean? What do you mean you're afraid? No. It cannot happen. Right. Over meat pie. Brother Caleb got angry because of meat pie. Is some of us, is it, how do you read the Bible? You don't know there's an intelligence arrayed in the unseen against you that you can easily fall prey for if you're not intelligent. Somebody abused you at the bus stop. You are going to work. You are going to work. You are going to work. You now stayed to be responding. I don't get. You are very stupid. It's an opinion. You are not stupid. Just be going. Those who are stupid will wait. I don't get. I'm always saying it. See, today I've named the only one on Sunday. Somebody like this, you now got down from your car. What does this mean? He has muscles passing in his hands. That's all he means. I don't know. I mean, what does this mean? I don't get it. Someone now say, so when he did it, you now say, he said my mother. Is that your mother? I don't understand why people your reason. These are they. So, is this your mother? I don't know. Somebody young, she said, he's giving me the finger. Is his finger that's paining me? That's a problem. You like this, eh? I don't know what you mean. Maybe you are saying you are not well. You need doctor. How can that refer to me? I'm in my own car. You are in your own car. If you are doing anyhow, I just wait for you so that whatever is doing you will go with you. I don't wait. You say some things you don't be bothered. You're not bothered now. You want to come down from the cancer fighting and then some people, all they need is just a push. They'll just die. And nobody will remember that they abused you. They'll just say, the people that are saying that, how can you talk like that? They'll say, you have killed him. You have killed him. The same people. Don't fall in. Now, if you were walking in the food of the Spirit normally in your local assembly, it would be easier for you to do. Outside, it will be. Be sober, be vigilant means that pay attention. Be diligent. Be sensitive. Don't look at flesh as flesh. Always know there's something behind flesh when you're operating against flesh and blood. Against one? Principalities against one powers. I'm going to give another scripture. 1 Corinthians 2, from verse 7. Look at the testimony of Jesus. We know in verse 1, the Bible says that, and I, brethren, when I came unto you, came not with excellency of speech of wisdom, but came unto one, the testimony of God. I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus and him crucified. I was rich in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. So that's where he started from. So in verse 7 now, see what it said in verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God. What is it called wisdom? The testimony of God, which is the testimony of Christ, which was in the Holy Scriptures. We speak that within even the that which was hidden, which God ordained before the world untoward our glory. Next verse. Which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have what? Crucified the Lord. Can you see that they didn't know it? So now, did they crucify the Lord of glory? Yes. Did they know what would happen by that crucifixion? No. So was the crucifixion an end point or a means to an end? A means to an end. What did they intend it to be? An end point. What did God intend it to be? A means to an end. That's wisdom. That same wisdom is at work in the life of every single believer. But there are principles. Because when the troubling of the water starts and the challenges come, there are principles in God's word clearly written. You are to count it all what? Don't get angry with men. Somebody is militating against you at the office. Somebody is, it was somebody who shared something with me about, he's not here now, so I can say it, but I can't say everything. Somebody was doing some things against me in the office, and I said, don't attack the person. Don't do what they are doing against you. Pray this way, pray this way. When you see the person, greet the person, be kind to the person, and watch if things will not change. And that's how God changed things around. Now, you will want to go the way they went, which is you also go to lobby to the boss, you go and say things. When you see those activities, never try to depend on the flesh. The arm of flesh will fail. Do you hear me this morning? The arm of flesh will fail. Don't go that way. Go the way of the Spirit. Now, say, count it all what? Joy. That's why, please, rejoicing is not for Holy Ghost meetings. Rejoicing is a lifestyle. You know, almost every time when we finish, Pastor G will come and say, take it home. Because home is where you need it the most, not here. We do it here. We build up a storm spiritually. Then you take it home. So that you cannot laugh in your closet, there's a problem. Because your laughing shows you know something. And what you know is that consistency that will put you over at the end of the day when the challenges come. Because the challenges will come. We're not praying for it, it will just come. You don't need to pray for it, it will just come. It's all around us. That's what the Bible says. So, 1 Peter 8 again, please. 1 Peter 5. Verse 9. Look at Peter's testimony. Look at what Peter said. Verse 9. It's seeking whom he did with verse 9. Whom what? Resist. How do you resist him? Steadfast where? In the faith. Exactly what James was saying. How do you resist him? Stay in the faith. Don't leave the faith. Don't become angry. Don't become sad. Don't become sorrowful. Don't start complaining. Stay in the faith. Rejoice. See what it says next. Knowing that the same what? Afflictions are accomplished where? In your brethren. That, so this is not tailor-made for you. It happens to everyone who proclaims the name of Christ. That's what he's saying. Look at next thing. This is the part that people don't like. Look at next thing says. Verse, but the God of all grace, who has called us unto what? His eternal glory by Christ Jesus. After that, you have me, I no go suffer. I no go beg for bread. Hallelujah. Apostolic doctrine. After you have suffered a while. Now, let me build you out now. What is it called suffering? The interval between the trial, your rejoicing in faith, and your victory, he calls it suffering. The interval which decision stands and it hasn't changed, the Bible calls it suffering. You are enduring. You are enduring. You stood your ground. The interval where change is yet to manifest, between that interval and the manifestation, he calls it suffering. See, he now calls it a while. After you have suffered the word means you stood your ground in faith. Glory to God. Because when you step into an organization or in every area of life, why do you look at yourself as ordinary? Not understanding. Is that God is not aware you are there? Is that God is not aware that you are in this particular challenge or situation you're facing? Is that how do you act as though you just we separate our Christian life from my personal life? No, understand that God wants to be involved in every single area. The same principles that put you over in your faith life, classes, Christian life, will put you over at your place of work. It will work every single place. It will work. As long as you don't fall into the trap of trying to do things the way they do it, it will work every single place. So he says, after you've suffered a while, it will now make you what? Perfect. It will be what? Establish. It will strengthen. It will what? Make you immovable. So he's telling you the process that God is after in the trying of your faith. Who is trying your faith? The challenges and the situations. Who is after perfecting you? God. So does God send trials to perfect you? Never. Let no man say, when he's facing those situations, it is God that is testing me. No, God does not. Can never. Hallelujah. But what is happening? Because you stood on the word, and the fruit of the Spirit is finding expression, it will produce perfection in your character. That is, whatever it's on the inside will now become something everybody can see on the inside with respect to your character. You are consistent. That's how you have... Listen, people receive bad news in different ways. Some receive bad news, there's an exclamation of dismay and discouragement. Some receive and their, so to speak, default mood is laughter when they hear it. So some break down and start crying immediately. Some others start rejoicing. They have the same inheritance. They don't have the same response. If any of you not lack wisdom, let him ask of the God that gives to all men liberally and doesn't find fault. It shall be given him. But let him ask out in faith without wavering. Because the one that wavers like a wave of the sea, what is he calling wavering? He's talking about doctrine, wrong teachings. People who unconsciously, a part of them believes that God is punishing them for their wrong lifestyle. You know, there are believers who believe that the way they lived before is catching up with them. That you can never escape. God cannot be mocked. And it lifts a scripture. It has nothing to do with the situation. You say, God cannot. Bible says, God cannot be. Somebody came to church one day and said that she was having challenges in marriage and everything. And I saw that she was suffering physically and mentally. So I told her, you need to separate for a while. So she was like, say, Pastor, but the Bible says that God is divorced. I said, where is it? As usual, she didn't know. So I said that, let me show you where it is. The scripture you quoted that you don't know. Because it is hearsay. That means somebody told you this is what it means. You never studied it. That's why you don't know where it is. So I opened Malachi. I said, no, it's not. It's in the gospel. It's in Malachi. You don't even know where it is. And you are quoting it. So you are in bondage to a scripture that you don't know. And you are dying. And you are dying. I said, when the Bible says divorce, there is a figure of speech. He's not even talking about husband and wife. He just illustrated. He was talking about him and Israel. I don't like separation, said the Lord. And he was talking about he and Israel. Are you Israel? We just quote things are happening that are unsavory. You are saying, the Bible says God cannot be mocked. The things I did that time is not catching up with me. You know, people even said that Paul is suffering for the people. Ah, may God forgive them. God, Paul is suffering for all the people he persecuted. No, Jesus told them at the beginning, I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. The word suffer means you will go through this, but I will be with you all the way. Hallelujah. Why do you think you will be rewarded in heaven? It's because you stood your ground in faith. You believe God. You stood your ground, you finish your assignment. Okay, again, the day I heard that message, you know, because I so much love the faith message. And that was the first time in my life, years ago, that I heard Dr. Ken Hagin. I had never heard him say that. I heard he said it personally. And he said, in the year 1989, that he spent nights talking to God about going home. In about 50 years of ministry, he has never experienced 6 months of that kind of demonic attack. Each time he talked to the Lord, the Lord told him that there's work to be done. And I asked myself, if that man went home at that time, the Holy Ghost meetings, he taught in the 90s, where will people like me be? I said, no, you are not done. I said, no, let me just, I've tried 50 years. I've not even had a vacation for 50 years. Let me come now. I said, no, you have work to do. You have work to do. That means the attack came because of that face that was coming. And God knew that face was coming. He said, no, stand your ground. Just stand in faith. So this is a man almost 50 years after ministry. And attacks were coming. That was similar to what happened at the beginning. So the attack did not change God's faithfulness. Had nothing to do with it was disobeying God. So tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, brother, sister, attacks will come. I have nothing to do with your obedience or disobedience. As a matter of fact, your obedience can bring attacks. after you have suffered a while, don't be a bread and butter Christian. Be solid. Be sound. Don't be fair weather. Don't be the kind of person that sees attacks and trains the way, I'm not coming to church again. You're not ready for work. Don't be one of those Christians. You know, if the gospel that you heard preached for you, come to our God, it will make you rich. It will. That's not gospel, though. They deceived you. You were deceived. That's not the gospel. Come to our God. It will make you rich. It will give you new work. It will give you... Those are free benefits that come to you because you belong to a company. I don't understand what I mean. Because you belong to this company, forget not all is what? But benefits are different from the main thing. The main thing is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Do you understand? So we don't preach come and say that if you come to our God, it will make you rich. No, the people that are also rich who don't know him, how did they become rich? If it's one that makes them rich. No. No, 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 no. And sometimes the foundation is the issue that people have. So to stand their ground in faith now becomes an issue. So if you are holding on to God's word, you're standing your ground. Some issues came up, sometimes through men, sometimes circumstances in quote beyond your control. Stand your ground. Hang in there. God's wisdom will bail you out. Notice this, nothing wavering. For the one that wavers like wave of the sea, let not a man think he shall what? Receive anything. What does it mean to waver? It's in the words that you speak. So more often than not, the reason why answers are not coming is because when the trial became serious, you spoke words that shows that you're not standing your ground in faith. You said something contrary to what you claim to believe in. You're unconsciously treating it well. Let not that man think he shall receive anything. So there are things you're saying that are not consistent with your faith walk. That's what he's saying. And that happens to many of us. That's why it says, let no man say, when situation is going on, it is God that is responsible. James chapter 3. I'm going to round up now. I just want to introduce this morning because it's important that the season that we're entering into. Notice, if you follow the pattern, the things I teach, or I've been teaching in the morning devotions, I've been strictly by leading. Glory to God. By now, your faith in supernatural preservation should be strong. It should be strong. Except you're not listening to the morning devotions. So, I don't just wake up and just say, what's inside this Bible? No, that's... That's not how to pastor a church. You are not. You are just the people that people see as pastor. There's a chief shepherd. He will tell you. You are not the one that will tell him. He will tell you, this is what the sheep need. You don't tell him what they need. Because you don't know the heart of the sheep. Hallelujah. That's what happens. So part-time, that's how, in case you are wondering, how do they just get it? You just how open the Bible that you just, no. You listen to the chief shepherd, and he tells you this is how, and this is what to focus on. See what it says. Where does it open to? James 3. This is not James 3. James 3, verse 1. Quickly. My brethren, be not many what? Masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Verse 2. For in many things, we allow offense to find expression. I'm using modern interpretation now. We allow offense to find expression. If any man does not mess up in what he says, that man is mature. Because with the ability to speak the right things, he has capacity to control his whole activity. I've just said it in normal English now. So, but that's King James. Look at King James. If in many things we offend all, what is the emphasis on how we all offend? Where do we all miss it? In the things that we say. That's where we miss it. As a matter of fact, if a man does not speak wrongly, you will find a man that hardly ever sins. So, what is God counting on when it comes to standing your ground? It is on the things you say. He says, let him ask in faith without wavering. How do you know a man is wavering? What he's saying. The condition of his heart will reflect in what he's saying. He said, but let him ask without wavering. So, wavering simply means you are inconsistent in what you are declaring, what you are saying per time, based on the situation. Now, James now says here, he says, if any man does not offend a word, that man is mature. Is able also to govern his activities. Even his activities or actions are under control. That's what he says. Because of his words. So, a man looks for mastery, first of all, in what he's saying at all times, depending on situations. That's why If you're a believer, you do Christianese in church, you speak foul outside, you are robbing yourself of victorious experiences. You know, because we're not there outside when you speak. We can only see you in church. And everybody's a brother and a sister in church. Have you noticed? Nobody uses foul language in church. If you use foul language here, we'll pray for you. If you can use it here, we'll pray for you. But everybody speaks right here. But where you need the speaking right is where? When you're not here. At one time, people were always saying, every time, like, what's, hello, how are you? So, what's going on? It is where. It is where. Also, it is where. That's not. That's not fatal. If there's an issue going on, Pastor, this is happening right now. But we believe God. No, it is where. It is where. When it is not where. Now, that's how to speak. When it comes, your pastor is one calling. So it's not that you're trying to impress a brother or sister. But that's what we're saying. We're saying that if you master how to speak consistent what you are believing in all situations, and it's a training. Say, that man is a mature man. That means the one who has control of his tongue is the one who has control over his actions. We have never seen you slap someone. We've hardly ever seen you abuse or insult someone. Even though the opportunity to do so has arisen many times. The one who refrains his tongue from speaking evil, that's the person that refrains himself from falling in difficult situations. The one who doesn't do tit for tat, who doesn't respond with accusations and railings and revilings, when he's reviled, is the one who has mastered the outcome of the situation by faith. That is, I am trusting God to see me through, and I'm not going to look to men. Notice something that I saw in Acts of Apostles. I'm going to write up now. They were persecuted. They were flogged. Chapter 3, chapter 4. And they were flogged. And when they came together to pray, they did not, so to speak, attack those who flogged them. Jesus didn't attack those who flogged him and nailed him. Each person. Paul never in the prayer prayed against those who did anything to him. Stephen, at the time he was being stoned, said, Father, don't hold this thing to the account. What do you think they knew that you and I may not be practicing? We rest not with flesh and blood. Hallelujah. So victory has nothing to do with those people. Look behind the scenes. God's wisdom will say what? See you through. Every time I read the story of Joseph, I see the growth pattern. Because sometimes we look at the story of this man, I see the growth pattern. I see how in prison he told them, I'm not supposed to be here. It's my brothers that lied upon me, or that did what they did, and they lied upon me. Potiphar, that's why I'm here. If you get out, tell the king, grant me favor. A few chapters after, the same Joseph, when he was now in the king's house as prime minister, the same Joseph, the same man, and he saw his brothers, he had grown. He saw the hand of God. He saw God's wisdom. He told them a different story. He said, don't be angry and don't be disturbed. It is not your fault, whatever it is that you think you did, because God sent me ahead of you. You and I know that the brothers were bad. Don't you know? It's not written there. So what do you think Joseph is doing? He's talking about God's faithfulness in his life. Say, this is what you did. In fact, to make it clear, when his father was buried, they were afraid. Maybe because of her father was alive, that's why he was nice. He would no longer be nice now. The one went to go and meet him. They still came back lying. He said, our father has said that you should forgive us. He said, you forgive us that time. And Joseph was shocked. He said, am I now in the place of God? Who did this? You meant it for evil. For God. If a believer doesn't understand that but God factor and what God can turn a terrible situation into, you will always be fighting men. And you're always falling upon your face. You will always fighting men. And that's what we do. I'm going to show him. I'm going to deal with him in this company. I was supposed to promote him. He didn't promote me. And he was always treating my way of promotion. No man can stand your way of promotion. No man. No man can stand your way of promotion. It's because you gave up. It's because you didn't practice the principles of God's word that would have elevated you in that. People can mitigate against you, but listen carefully. No man has that kind of power to stand in your way, because God's wisdom is bigger than the actions of men. And God's wisdom is meant to elevate you in the situation they orchestrated to bring you down if you stood your ground in faith. I'm just telling you how it works. This is how these things work. These are principles and aspects that we don't often hear, but it's the truth. If you will practice the faith of God with the fruit of the Spirit on a regular basis, you will see God's activity in your life in strange ways. Yes, it's true. They meant it for evil, but that is not the final conclusion. It is, what does God intend to bring out? Are the prince of this world known? They will not have. But now it's too late. Hallelujah. He's risen. He's raised up. He's standing. And we are alive. Every single so-called setback, if you look back and look at it and revisit, you will see that it's not that men did not do you harm or did not intend harm. It is that within what they were doing, there's a wisdom higher. That if you had obeyed the laws of the scriptures, you would have found yourself elevated instead. Even with everything that they planned. Glory to God. That's why Joseph was not vindictive, looking for how to do revenge. No. Once you are that way, you have not counted it all joy. You have not counted it joy. You are still looking at men as the reason why. Because you are not responsible for how you were born, where you were born. Have you noticed? You don't get to choose your parents. You didn't even choose the country you were born into. Have you noticed? If you had the choice... I wanted to speak word from knowledge. Not word of word from knowledge. Some of you here, I can't even hear the country you are calling your mind. Can hear. We will not mention. Some of you are even particular about state. That's how particular you are. This particular state in somewhere you have not been before. You have only seen a film. Anyway, now, if you had a choice, now that you are here, what is fate? There's a wisdom bigger than how you were born. And where you were born. An assignment in Christ that only the wisdom that brought the assignment can map out. Hallelujah. That's what the believer is meant to believe. You are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of what? Incorruptible seed. It is lack of wisdom. When the believer starts complaining, my father's house, my family, our village, our people. But you are a new tribe in Christ Jesus. And in Christ Jesus, there are things God wants to set in order, and we set in order as you learn to yield to the authority of the scriptures. Glory to God. Glory to God. That's what God does. So, the seasons that we're in, learn how to use your tongue well. No matter what news you hear, that's not the conclusion. The conclusion is what you say in response to the situation. Those who are perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Because again, let me say it this way. If God has said certain things to you, and in that particular area where you are meant to be going, the prices go up. You think God did not know that the prices will go up before you step into that area. The way we think can be very limiting. As though, it's like, God, you are not current. Though. You know, in Nigeria now, that the price of dollar now. That's why you think that you still go to, say, before dollar, before naira. The plan was, I am, I will always be, after it stabilizes. So why are you bringing that up when I said, and that's what sometimes we do. That's why I said, let patience have its perfect work so that you can one, perfect and one, entire, so that you can lack one, nothing. And God's wisdom will see you through all the way. Lift your hands this morning. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Well, what do I need to do this morning? I just want to just let go of trying to control things, trying to control your life, trying to control situations. Just let go. And I say let go now. Trust him. Trust him to guide. Trust him to lead. Trust him to direct. Trust him for the wisdom to speak. To say what ought to be said per time, per season. Too many times we're compulsive. Too many times we're impulsive. Too many times we try to plot out the graph. Many times even the schools that we went to had nothing to do with us. There was an influence that had to do with the school that you went to. The people that you happen to meet seemingly casually, there was a divine influence. Particularly if you're already saved, a divine influence that orchestrated those you get to meet that you're going to need later. Understand that there's a wisdom behind the scenes. Even if there are evil forces behind the scene on the other side, there are forces behind the scene on this side. A wisdom bigger than situations and circumstances that God has orchestrated to put you over if you acknowledge victory in Christ. Yeah. Father, we give you praise this morning. We thank you for comforting us. Thank you for strengthening us. Thank you for reassuring us. The things we need to hear Our lives are in your hands. In Christ Jesus, we're scripted for victory already. It doesn't matter what the enemy throws at us. Something in us always rises up, always overcomes, always prevails. Always, always, always without fail. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The news doesn't matter. There's a sound on our inside. The shout of a king. Thank you. For that shout is eternal in Christ Jesus. It never fails. It never fails. We're not confused this season. We take hold of opportunities. The news in the media does not shake us. The rock of ages on our inside. That unshakable conviction. That unshakable assurance. It puts us over in all areas of life. We're confident that you are the end and the beginning. Thank you for all you've done and all you're doing. Thank you for strengthening us and strengthening our hearts and bringing a supernatural comprehension of the love of Christ into our hearts. Thank you for the staying power that we require this season. We walk with you the rest of the way. We give you praise, Father. In Jesus' precious name, amen.